Hour reach you once again, and your speaker this time is David F. Horn of Denver, Colorado, coming to us with another message from the Word of God. At this time, I'm going to call our attention to several aspects of God's salvation. We have in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, we have God's salvation from the penalty of sin. And then we have in Romans chapter 6 and verse 7, we are saved from the power of sin. And then in Acts chapter 26 and 28, we are saved from the power of Satan. And in Galatians chapter 1, we're saved from the power of the world. And in Romans chapter 4, we're saved from the power of the law. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, we are saved from the power of wrath through him. One more in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. We are saved from the presence of sin. Now, beloved friends, may God bless to us the reading of his precious word. I'm going to call our attention to that first scripture that I mentioned at the beginning of this little message, and I'm going to read it to you now from the Word of God. In 1 Peter and his third chapter, and verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, which were sometimes disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Thank God for the reading of such a plain, simple scripture, and let me just go over it once again. We have, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. He will never have to suffer again. When our Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, he suffered there, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And his days of suffering are over. He was taken down from the cross. Then he was placed in a tomb. But on the third day, God raised him from the dead by the power of an endless life. Then later on, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs to show to the men and women just like ourselves that he's alive today. Our Savior is not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. And someone said, where is he now? Well, he's living at the right hand of God. He's at the right hand of the Majesty on high. But now I want to go over this once more. He tells us, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins. Now remember, friends, he had no sins of his own. And when he was on the cross of Calvary, what about the suffering for sins? Whose sins did he suffer for? Well, I thank God for his word that tells us that he suffered the just for the unjust. And he was the just one, and we are the unjust ones, or were the unjust ones. But he came from the glory, that innocent, that sinless, that holy, spotless Son of God. And he came down for one purpose, and that was to die for your sins and mine. When I view that scene of Calvary's cross by faith, and I see the spikes in his hands and feet, and I see that thorn-crowned brow, and I see that Roman spear that went into the heart of the Son of God, and there I see a man tasting death for everyone. In fact, the Word of God says this, that he, by the favor or grace of God, tasted death for everyone. Now, maybe someone is saying, what do you mean by that? He tasted death for everyone. Well, the wages of sin was death and is death. and they had to be paid either by the sinner or by the sinner's substitute. And the Savior was willing to come down and take the sinner's place. Why, the poet says, there was one that was willing to die in my place, that a soul so unworthy might live. And someone is saying at this present time, do you mean to tell me that that Savior came all the way from heaven and went all the way to the cross and died in full payment for all my sin? Well, God said he did. And the Word of God makes this very plain, that it's impossible for God to lie. Will you hear this once more? And then you take God at his word. And I read this, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin. Whose sin? My sins, thank God. And your sins, thank God. And the Word of God says again, he laid on him the sins of us all. When our Savior was on the cross of Calvary, every sin of the human family was taken up by the God of glory and carted to Calvary's cross, and there transferred to the shoulders of God's beloved Son, and there he paid in full by death, tasting death for everyone, dying for everyone's sins. I thank God for 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it begins with a word like this. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the good news, how that Christ died for our sins. And my dear friend, it touches my hard heart at this very time as I read it, as I repeat it, as I view it. Christ died for my sins. And I tell you, I thank God for that. Had it not been for that, I must have died for my own, and those sins would have sunk me down to endless despair forever and forever. But because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, and God the just is satisfied to look on Christ and pardon thee. Isn't that wonderful that the Savior came and the Savior died, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? There is another scripture I want to call our attention to, and this one is found in Hebrews chapter 9, and it will be the last two verses. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, that was for the sins we committed. And then he tells us now, but after this the judgment, after death the judgment. Why, friend, are you not afraid of the judgment of God? Well, the speaker was, and I fear the judgment of God for men and women, and that's why I spend my time praying, as I do daily, for the unsaved souls of men and women, and preaching to men and women, and telling them the way of salvation. But when you hear this, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, offered to bear the sins of many, offered to bear your sins on the cross of Calvary. How can you pass him by? How can you say him nay? How can you refuse him longer? Oh, let me plead with you now in the name of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. And will you not at this very moment let Jesus come into your heart? Will you not say, Jesus, I will trust thee. I'll trust thee with my soul, poor and weak and helpless. Thou canst make me whole. And the Savior, friends, answered to God for you. And the Savior, friends, satisfied the claims of God. And God has been so satisfied ever since Christ died. Why, the Word of God says, God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ died for us, and he died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. How can you refuse him longer? And let me tell you, men and women, boys and girls, in the name of our God, time is running out, and the world is rapidly coming to a close. Are you not frightened as you hear of wars and rumors of wars? And this just tells us the end is near, and the Savior is soon to come for his church. And if you would be saved, you make it today. If you would be saved, make it right now, this very day. In fact, the Word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We are hearing and seeing things happening every day, and I want to tell you, we just hear the Word of God, and it says, look up, Your redemption draws nigh. In other words, the Redeemer is drawing nigh. That Redeemer that came 1900 years ago, past and gone, that one that came to redeem you by His own blood that He shed on Calvary's cross, He's coming again, and He's coming for those that are redeemed by His blood, and He's coming to reign as the glorified Lord. Jesus is coming again. Praise His holy name. Now let me read you one more scripture. This one is in 1 Thessalonians. It is chapter 5, and I am reading from verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. Why? But to obtain salvation. Will you hear that, beloved friend? God, the God of heaven, has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation, and this is the ground on which it is obtained, by our Lord Jesus Christ. That one, I tell you, friends, that wants to save you, and He tells us again that God hath not appointed us to wrath, but He has appointed us for salvation. He wants us to have His salvation. He wants us to have His Son. And as I read on into the next verse, who died for our sins? Who died for our sins, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together unto Him. The one that died for our sins and rose for our justification is coming one of these days, and take His blood-bought church from this scene and have us in glory with Himself. Now I beg of you, men and women, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just to let these words have a place in your heart. Let me show you another scripture, and I see our time is rapidly running out, but to show us by the Word of God and from the Word of God what we have been delivered from who have trusted Christ as our Savior. This is verse 18. He came to open the eyes and to turn men and women from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those that are sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, may God add His blessing upon you and save you, is our prayer. Our mailing address is either in care of this station or the Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. May God bless you and save you. And if we can be of any help to you, and you want some literature, or in any way that we can help you, drop us a line, and in return, we'll try and respond and give you something from the Word of God, and God bless and save you for His name's sake. Amen.